Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Fire You Can't Put Out. My name is Melvin. I want to thank you so much for being here. The way that I've done this show in the past is I've had a one-hour format, and then just whatever amount of news I was able to fit within that hour, that was what I brought you every week. And now that we have returned, the format's going to change a little bit. Because if we're being honest, people are kind of sick of the news right now. They're on overload, and that's not really what they're looking for. Now, because news is a profit-driven business, and if it bleeds, it leads, has long been the way that it's been done, something like the coronavirus is unfortunately a bit of a gift to the news media. And this doesn't make them liberal or conservative. It makes them profit-driven. And they're kind of turning the whole thing into a movie. There's dark music. There's black and white photos or black and white and red photos. What the bloody hell is that? Feelings of fear and it's corona and it's coming down on us. And when this is all over, they're going to have to go back to finding other ways to keep us glued to the TV. Like maybe they'll talk about the election and how scary it's going to be if one of these Democrats... Because they can be informative, but they can also be very, very frightening. And even if I wasn't absorbing the news, I would still keep it on because it was kind of a study for me, but I don't do that in my house anymore. And here, as much as I would love to bring you all kinds of hard news, I'm not. But I would like to bring you what I've learned as of late. I am a runner. I have been a runner for about 15 years now. Now, if you're a longtime listener of the show, you've heard me tell these stories before. When I go running, I try to find a place where and a time where I can run where I'm not going to be harassed. So for those of you that are not runners or not cyclists or you do your exercising inside of a gym, you likely don't deal with a whole lot of this. But over the last 15 years, dozens of times, I've had people drive by me, yell things at me, throw things at me. I've never been hit by one of the things that was thrown from a moving car. It's hard to hit that kind of a target. I'm moving, they're moving, maybe they've got a full soda that they've thrown at me. It's obviously one of those disposable cups. It's like a can of soda that might kill me if it hit me. But people do this kind of stuff. And they think it's hilarious. I will hear them laugh as they drive by me and scream and try to scare me. Or they throw a soda at me and, oh my God, it missed. But holy crap, would it have been so funny if it hit the guy that was running? It's not every time I go out that this happens, but it's way too damn much. I gotta assume that this is the way bullies operate when they're in a car and they're not right next to you. Obviously online, they'll make some comments, they'll send threats to you. In person, maybe they'll beat you up, give you a swirly. I don't know. It's been a long time since I've been to high school. But this is the way bullies operate when they see you going running down the street and they can't help themselves. One of the things that has changed with the coronavirus is that. You say, well, is it because there's not a lot of people out there that this isn't happening to you all that often anymore? Yes and no. Yeah, I see far fewer people outside, but the people that are outside, they're happy. And they're happy to see me. We're all practicing our social distancing, but the thing that I've seen over the last number of weeks has been nothing short of astonishing to me. When folks drive by, and this always makes me nervous, they'll lean out the window, they'll say hello, and they'll wave at me. This happens all the time. When I used to run by people, I wave at everybody I go by, no matter what, whether it's corona time or not. More often than not, those people would not wave back. Now, I didn't feel stupid for waving. I'm friendly, so I would continue to wave at every single person I went by. Sometimes they look, sometimes they wouldn't. About 99% of the people I walk by now or run by will wave at me. if I don't wave at them first. Like, they're just excited to see other people. So one of the things that has come out of this is that I'm seeing people be a lot nicer to each other. Now, I can't explain that particular phenomena because I've never been a dick to people, to strangers that I saw in public just for the purposes of being a dick like they've been towards me. But I'd be curious what has made people change. Has all this being cooped up inside made us miss one another? This old, tired idea of Ayn Rand worship, where we are not a society, we are merely individuals that just happen to be interacting. We're all rugged individuals. We are not a society. I think that this whole cooped up inside thing has made people realize that whether we'd like to admit it or not, we need each other. And there's a whole bunch of other things that I've learned during this time that I hope are not lost once this is all over. The first one being, we are only as healthy as our sickest citizen. So we've had a for-profit health insurance in America forever. We are the last industrialized nation where we allow private for-profit primary care. In other countries, they have health insurance. Not mistaken, there's no country that has completely abolished private for-profit companies, but they're not allowed to provide you with primary care. And those systems tend to have better outcomes. Now, everybody's suffering under corona, but what we've learned now is not everybody gets equal care. One, we don't have a good testing system in place for all the people that have corona. If I went in and I said, I believe I have corona, it's not likely that I'm going to get a test. It's a for-profit system. They only hold on to what they anticipate needing. When I was listening to Andrew Cuomo talk, he said, we don't have enough respirators and we don't have enough hospital beds. And the reason why is because our system is only set up for people that are able to pay. There's a certain segment of society where people aren't going to be able to pay. And so they don't have beds and respirators, and those people can just die in the streets. That's the way we've done things up until now. He said, if we didn't have a for-profit system, the fact that empty beds and empty respirators were lying around would not bother anybody because it's not a for-profit system. It is a for-health system. Another thing, the laissez-faire, unrestrained, for-profit, minus humanity, capitalism is over. One of the grossest things that I have seen in my people is the empty grocery store shelves. Was there an interruption in the supply line during the coronavirus? No. As a matter of fact, there was a ramp up. But as soon as everybody thought that they could possibly, potentially be the last person on Earth, they bought up everything without considering anybody else. And that, I think, is a result of our system that tells us that we are the only people in the world. And that if we are fine, then everyone else is fine. And the thing that was never considered is A, the elderly people. B, people who live paycheck to paycheck. See, they're not able to just willy-nilly run to the store and buy what they need whenever there's a panic. And so the fact that people decided to buy, which just shorted everyone else. And the toilet paper was going for as much as $10 a roll on the internet, on Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace. That's courtesy of AP. And the fact that those little tiny bottles of hand sanitizer were going for $60 a bottle on Amazon. Now, Amazon has kicked all the gougers off of there, but just the fact that somebody thought that that was okay to do that. Because we're taught that the most important thing above all else is profit. President Dum Dum has said that he would like to have our society reopened by Easter. They say, well, what about the people that are going to die? He goes, hey, it's like 3% that are going to die. So what? But 3% of our current population is about 11 million people. So the party of human life, the party of Save the Fetuses, The party of pro-life has said, 11 million dead people? We're good with that. We'd much rather have society reopen. Why? Because we're losing money. Elections have consequences. Donald Trump is the worst possible person that we could have in charge right now. So I want to look at, I'm looking at you, my Stein voters, my Bernie people who absolutely would not vote for anybody else. I'm not in the Hillary Clinton fan club, but I feel like it would be great to at least have an adult in charge right now. And the fact that the president and a handful of members of the Republicans have said out loud, like not being around the bush, have said out loud that if we have some people that die, that's okay, because we can't have society closed. Making money. Unrestrained laissez-faire capitalism has run on blood for a long time. And recently, we've decided to say that into the open. Another lesson we've learned, science matters. Vaccines matter. Since we're all following the CDC guidelines now with respect to the coronavirus, perhaps we will start following it when it comes to vaccines. I was talking with one of my daughters about this. I said, it's going to be a year or better until we have a vaccine for this. And then even once we have a vaccine for this, all of the nitwits on Facebook and Instagram are going to start creating memes and fake videos saying, this coronavirus vaccine is dangerous. Or will they? Will we remember what happened during this time? Or will we have learned our lesson? I was reading in USA Today, I believe it was, that there's about 50 different groups of scientists right now. And all of them are racing to find a vaccine for this. Even if you're on the internet right now and you're making things up about vaccines, or you're driving around in your minivan with your bumper sticker on the back and your carload of kids that says vaccines are harmful, find out at vaccinesareharmful.com or whatever dumbass website they have. Once we have a coronavirus vaccine, I understand that what you'll probably do is very quietly go and get that vaccine. Perhaps you'll Uber down there so that nobody can see your bumper sticker after you get your vaccine at like a Rite Aid or Walgreens. The other thing that we've seen come out of this is a cleaner, quieter planet. People that struggle with breathing problems outside of the coronavirus don't seem to have as much trouble now because we're not dumping as much waste into the air. There's fewer cars on the road. There's fewer planes flying. Waterways seem to be clearer now. I've seen the pictures from Venice. There was some stuff going around about how dolphins are swimming in there because it's so clean. Obviously, an internet hoax. But the fact that the water is cleaner, the streets are quieter. And we've learned that we don't necessarily need to be out there in the rat race. I'm watching the telly and the news people, they're largely broadcasting from home. Everybody knows what Zoom is now, where I think most people didn't before. And all these meetings, like all these in-person meetings that we've had, we've learned that we don't really need to be there in the same room with all those schmucks who we can get on the internet. And we can see all those schmucks on the same screen. And we don't have to be filling up the roads. Here in the Portland-Vancouver area, there's a fight going on about whether we need another bridge or we need wider lanes. And the streets are empty now. And I understand that there's some people that don't have jobs at all, and that's part of it. But I hope one of the things that we learn from this is that once we get back to normal or normal-ish, we will realize that with all of the modern technology that we have, what we could really start doing is doing this stuff from a distance, getting a few more cars off the road, keeping the air a little bit cleaner, harnessing the technology that we have, the fact that we fill up the roads now the same as we did like in the 50s and in 60s, and it doesn't make any sense. That's one of the things that we have learned from this. We've also learned that we can live on less. The old saying goes, there's enough to fill everyone's need, but not everyone's greed. Another lesson, the internet is essential. As it's a modern society, it's as essential as anything else. I feel like there's some changes coming with respect to the internet. And the reason I say that is because Comcast, which has been gouging me and my family for some time, they're the only, that's the only internet we can get in our area. Because they've lobbied enough members of Congress to make sure that they are the only game in town. And they've been gouging me for years, and I know I'm not the only one. Even once I dump their crappy-ass equipment, because, you know, they make everyone pay a lease on the equipment, and I bought my own, they still found a way to raise my prices to what they were before I returned their equipment. And then I got my most recent bill, and it gave me the option of cutting the cost of my internet in half. Now, they're not doing that to be nice. I feel like something else is coming down the road. And with all these students that are staying home right now, they said, hey, since the kids got to be out of school for so long, maybe there's a way the kids can learn from home, but then it hit us. They said, hey, not everyone has access to the internet. I was ignorant on this. I did not realize that. But then I did, and I said, okay, it's not just for streaming videos and doing TikTok dances and posting BS on Facebook. The internet is essential. It's a utility. It's just like electricity. Everybody needs it. So for the next 2 months, Comcast has said, we're going to provide it for free to everybody. It's not really free. It cost them pennies. Pennies per home to provide you with the pennies. They were charging me $100 a month. Pennies. And now they're giving it away for free because they've ripped off people for so long that they can. I'm not pulling back on them. The internet needs to be cheap or free. Now, if you want a lot of bandwidth, you want to download a terabyte worth of stuff a month in your home, fine. Then I think you should have to pay more for internet. But if you're using basic internet for watching some videos, maybe of your teacher streaming, looking things up, articles sip very, very little bandwidth when you're reading, all of that should be free. You know, if you need to download a million different things, then you'll have to pay. But for everyone else, I think it should cost zero. The other positive thing that's come out of this is we have gotten to know our neighbors. And that is a rich, fabulous thing. Several of our neighbors are in their 60s. And the first thing that we did once this hit, and this was my wife's idea, she went around to their houses, our more immediate neighbors, who we know are over 60. And she gave them a card letting them know that we are here, that if they need something from the store, food, water, medicine, that we, being younger and more resistant to this virus, would go ahead and take the risk of going out in public and getting them what they need so that they don't have to risk. That's the first thing we did. And they returned the favors. Baked us cookies and other such nice things. We learned our neighbor just to the left of us, you know, just to the east of us, west of us, excuse me. We knew they had chickens, but they've started giving us eggs, you know, and other things that they grow in their garden and other resources that we can use in our garden. And so this with this community, like we have this whole new community in our neighborhood and it's like we didn't like our neighbors, but this has forced us to think about not just other people, but those that immediately surround us. And to take on something larger than ourselves. And I say it to them still. I will go out and risk infection so that you don't have to deal with this crap. Obviously, you'll be safe. I'm not going to put my hands in my mouth after touching a doorknob and all that. I'm going to wash my hands and use the sanitizer and all the rest. But hey, it's killing a lot of older people. And we said, we'll do this for you. And we mean it. And that's the kind of attitude that we should always have. And I'm not saying that you should go next door and tell your neighbor that you'll risk infection. But hey, how important is it? How important is community? How important is it for all of us to think about one another? That's the point. Art is important, but so is boredom. The thing that I've seen so much before this came up was people sitting in their homes, sitting in their yards, sitting at the city park, sitting in their cars, and doing what? Staring at their phones. Now that they're stuck inside all the time, and they don't have a lot of options, you know what people are sick of doing finally? Staring at their goddamn phones. And they're talking, and they're allowing their minds to wander, and they're starting to rediscover other things that are not just surfing on the internet. Now, I know it's not everybody. One of the positive things that I think could come out of this is the rewiring of the brain. And we've needed that for some time. Let's talk about teachers and other low-wage workers. What we've learned from this is that there isn't a teacher shortage. There's not a teacher shortage. What there is a master's level professional who will work for $35,000 a year shortage. People that have had to have their kids at home with them all day that are trying their own kind of homeschooling since their kids can't go to school anymore are now realizing why teachers are important and why they need to make more money. If you turn on Fox News on just about any given day, they are hammering on teachers and hammering on teachers' unions and unions as a whole. And what we've learned now is how important those people are. My hope that when this is all over is we stop treating teachers as these low-level people that we need them. And they should make more. They don't have to make what football players make. Just maybe slightly south of there. But I hope everyone understands. But think about what you've had to deal with your kids at home. Yeah, teachers matter. The other thing that we've learned, there is no such thing as a low-level worker. I've heard it from conservatives my entire life about how these low-level workers don't need to make more money. Yes, the minimum wage is $7.50 an hour right now. The federal minimum wage is $7.50 an hour right now. But you know what? That's a starting wage. That's for kids. That's for people that's not supposed to be. It's just now who's on the front lines, huh? Of course, it's our doctors and nurses who are on the front lines. But you know who else is on the front lines? The people who work at Pizza Hut. The people who work at Arby's. The people who work at Carl's Jr. They are now on the front lines. Coming in contact with people because they don't have people in the restaurants anymore. They just have them in the drive-thru. And so they are having to continue to feed people. People in grocery stores having to find a way to continue to feed people. But wait a minute. I thought that those were low-level workers. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that the people that provide us our food, you know, the stuff, the sustenance that we cannot live without, who would have thought that those people would become frontline workers. When this is all over, my hope is how I never, ever, ever have to hear ever again about why somebody deserves to make starvation wages. I talked about price gouging and I laid into people that are gouging on hand sanitizer and on toilet paper. They didn't just think of that on their own. They've learned that. For years from, let's just pull one out of the air and say Big Pharma. Big Pharma, who takes something like insulin, which is over 100 years old and long out of patent, like this very, very basic thing, and they charge us hundreds or thousands for it, right? And what about for people that can go into anaphylactic shock, you know, and need to have those shots, the EpiPens, like $600 a pen? $400 a pay when it's the most basic thing? Yeah, I hammered on the people that were gouging when it came to toilet paper and hand sanitizer. But they've learned from people like Big Pharma that, you know what? Life isn't important. Just make as much money as you can. Because we've tolerated Big Pharma doing it for years. I hope that after this is over, Big Pharma starts to lose some of that death grip that they've had on us. 2 years ago, the Trump administration and the Republicans in Congress decided to give the millionaires and billionaires in this country $1.5 trillion for absolutely nothing, just because they're millionaires and billionaires and they needed more money. And then this crisis happened. But that's okay, everybody. The economy's not going to fall. The economy's not going to falter, because remember, we gave $1.5 trillion. To all these millionaires and billionaires, not even 2 years ago. And you know what? It didn't make a difference. Yesterday, the Congress passed a $2.2 trillion rescue package. with all of that money, all of it, well, the direct payments anyway, going to working people. There are small business loans out there that are available to you that you don't have to pay back as long as you can demonstrate that during this time you've paid your workers. There are some bailouts that are going to some corporations. You can't have that bill without the Republicans throwing that stuff in. And what we've learned is that these bootstraps that we hear so much about, that millionaires and billionaires have, what we've learned is that it's all horse pucky. All of the trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars that we give them, we're now starting to learn. They are not the job creators. We are the job creators. We, the working people. We who start small businesses. We. So when this is all over, my hope is how I never, ever, ever have to hear ever again about how these millionaires and billionaires who just don't have enough goddamn money, how they are the job creators. That myth has been dispelled. And nowhere is that more evident than it is in the stock market. Stocks have been going up, 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 and up for the last 10 years. You and I have done okay, but the millionaires and billionaires who are in the stock market have gotten rich, 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 richer. We have not. Because we've been convinced to put our retirement accounts into the stock market, we've seen a little bit of those ups. But you know what we are absorbing the overwhelming majority of? The downs. Now that the stock market has lost about 30 or 40%, we are the ones who are largely absorbing those losses. And after a few tough weeks, all these people, all these millionaires that have made all this money, they need a bailout. Not the rest of us. They need a bailout. The stock market is not a good indicator of what's happening on Main Street. It has never been, and it never will be. When stocks go up, we get the crumbs. When stocks go down, we, working people, absorb the losses. When this is all over, never ever again do I want to hear about how great it is for working people that the stock market is going up. It's not for us. It's never been for us. I just want to make a few more points and then I'm going to bounce. The other thing we've learned from this is we need a basic standard of living. With respect to healthcare, with respect to the amount of money that we make in a society with constant inflation, we are learning that we need a basic standard of living. Every time it has come up that we should do something for working people, that, hey, Congress, you should do something for working people. The attitude of Congress has been, yeah, we can't do that. Yeah, we can't afford that. How are we going to pay for it? That's what we've always, how are we going to pay for it? One of the other things I hope to never, ever, ever have to hear about again is lunch debt. Do you know what this is? This is in the schools where maybe they qualify for a part of a meal or they don't qualify for a meal at all, but then a kid forgets to bring their lunch to school, so they get lunch from the school, and then the school keeps a tally and starts racking up what's referred to as lunch debt. And then we, the parents, we get a bill at home, and then we got to pay that bill. So I've not had trouble paying those bills because in the Melvin household, we're doing okay. But there are millions of kids who have not been able to pay those bills and have eaten food at school because they needed to eat. And lately, as soon as school got cut off and there's all this food sitting at the schools that they got to move, right, because they expected to be feeding kids all year. Well, as soon as the kids had to stay home, the schools got their asses in gear and started finding ways to get that food to the kids, and more importantly, getting it to kids without charging them. One of the fabulous things that has happened with this virus is I've not had to hear a single peep about lunch debt. And going forward, when this is all over, I hope to never, ever, ever have to hear about lunch debt ever again. Congress passed this $2.2 trillion thing. And you know what? 93% of Americans are going to get a check. Not something that they have to pay back. They're just going to get free money from the government. So here's what I expect to happen. If you are a conservative and you hate socialism, I fully expect that you are not going to cash that check. That you're going to recognize that this is socialism and it's stealing your freedoms. And you will not cash that check. You will not accept that dirty money. You will not take that money and spend it on yourself or your loved ones. That you will stick to your guns, so to speak. And you will not take that free money from the government. Because, hey, after all, it's socialist. But what's really going to happen? I know what's going to happen. And I don't care if you're a Democrat or you're a Republican or you're one of these dumbasses who thinks that they're in the middle. Do you think you're in the middle? You're not in the middle. Everybody is going to cash these checks. And nobody is going to ask, how are we going to pay for this? There's over $1.5 trillion of student debt out there, and we've been told for decades that we cannot pay that, that those students must be saddled with all of that debt. That's what we've been told. In order for you to become a doctor, you have to take on about $250,000 in debt. And we've been told that we cannot, because how are we going to pay for it? In the matter of just a couple of weeks, almost every single member of Congress got together and decided that we are able to just drop $2.2 trillion on the economy without a second thought. We can afford it. And with the shortage of doctors and nurses that we have right now, here's a thought. Let's start subsidizing their education so that there's no shortage. Let's stop regulating how many people can become doctors and say, if they want to become a doctor and they don't want to take on $500,000 in debt or $250,000 in debt, we are going to subsidize so that we can be a healthier society. There are some things that are more important than money. And if you want to keep continuing to saddle these kids with school debt, let me put it this way. You get what you pay for or don't pay for. We can pay for their education now, or we can pay 10 times the price later on. We've known for a long time that we are all socialists. And as soon as you all go and you cash your socialist checks, don't be afraid. Walk up out of the bank with your cash in hand and say proudly, after all your complaining about how socialism is so bad, it's going to kill America, and it's going to kill freedom, you get to exclaim proudly about how you're a socialist. Then you can go spend your socialist money. I appreciate you being here today. I appreciate you sticking with me. I'm happy to be back on this microphone. And I apologize if it seems like I was yelling at you today. I know there's a lot of darkness going on in the world right now, but I also want you to know that there is a lot of light, that there are a lot of positive things, there are a lot of good things going on, and we must not let this moment pass without learning the lessons of this moment. Thank you for being here on The Fire You Can't Put Out. Our official home is tfycpo.podbean.com. While we work hard to not only inform and entertain, but also to keep an open dialogue with you, our listener base. So feel free to reach out to us. And as always, thank you for listening. We are the fire you can't put out, and we will prevail, rejecting austerity in favor of prosperity. Special thanks to Kevin for producing, and thank you for listening. This is Melvin signing off. And now that I have woken you up, good morning.